Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, welcome back to Season 4 of Pigeon Hockey, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is Chris and today's co-host, Justin.
What's up, hockey people?
And this is the NCDC Mountain Division Weekly, where we provide weekly coverage of the ongoings in the Mountain Division of the Tier 2 National Collegiate Development Conference. So how goes life, Justin?
Pretty good. My job in the hockey world rolled down this year back in like February. So I've just been kind of watching back the NCDC and watching that take off, which has been really fun.
Yeah, it has been. And that's kind of like... me and you were discussing, it's one thing that I want to kind of work on heading into season five is kind of doing a NCDC Mountain Division kind of weekly episode, kind of a short, kind of give it what's been happening in like a 15 to 25 minute radius. And Justin, we were even talking about potentially doing a Mountain West Collegiate Hockey League, 20 minute short, moving into next season as well.
That we were, and I think we might be able to do it.
I think so too, because like I said, we both watch a lot of NCDC Mountain Division games. I think we both watch them all. And you're the play-by-play for the Weber State Wildcats. So you've got a really good touch on what's happening in the Mountain West Collegiate Hockey Conference, Mountain West Collegiate Hockey League. So we'll be able to kind of give a same thing, a 15 to 25 minute weekly breakdown of what's been happening out there. So it's kind of those things that we'll be looking to potentially, you know, work on and improve going into season five. This does mean that we'll probably not be covering the USPHL West as much this year, not the tier three. There's a lot of teams and I don't have to be with anymore, right? Justin. And if there's listeners out there that want to jump on that, they can. But I won't have the bandwidth moving into season five. Unfortunately, as much as I do enjoy watching those games, I'll probably still watch a few teams that I favor, but I won't be able to give solid coverage and awards for that next year. I always think about trying to do something for the goalies because I do love my fellow goalies, but you know, that's all in the off season thought process. But like you said, the NCDC Mountain Division playoff games, round one just happened. And they were good. We had Provo against Utah and Idaho against Ogden. And man, what'd you think about those opening games?
Oh my, wild. Like there were moments my jaw hit the floor.
Yeah. It was, well, I would say like the first game that kind of kicked off on Friday was the, I think Provo visiting Utah, and Provo just took it to Utah. Utah looked flat.
Yeah.
It was not the outliers we've watched all year, and Provo just put them in their place. They just unleashed the Predator. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. They really took it to Utah that first game, ended up winning the game 6-2. Dryden DeMello getting his first kind of a playoff action coming off the island again down to Utah, and he got a shutout in his a grand appearance in the Mountain Division end of the regular season, and was able to get some action there as a, Rendina didn't look himself. The Outliers didn't look themselves. They started off rough. And honestly, you could say almost the same thing with Idaho Falls and Ogden. Idaho really, I wouldn't say Idaho played bad. I don't think Idaho played bad. Ogden just played better in that first game. And the score, I don't think, is indicative of how well the game was played either by Idaho Falls. It just kind of ended up as a 4-1 game, but lots of really good action.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was, I don't think there was a moment where I was watching this playoffs and it was not intriguing. I was literally hooked both games that I was watching for these two series. Every game I watched, I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, and the great thing is I'm able to watch the games. It depends on Friday nights, maybe not so much. Friday night's games I wasn't able to watch down. We live in a apartment complex. I don't know what else to put it, call it, but, and we have this kind of shared house area that you can utilize for different things. So there's a place where I can basically watch the games on a projector. So I got this giant projector showing me the games. And I wasn't able to do that Friday night, as they had like a movie night or something happening down there. But I'm able to do it for most every other game. And it's exciting watching the games down there. People come in and out. They learn a little bit about NCDC hockey. I get to watch games on a big screen, and it's a pretty quiet area too. So, well, I mean, in terms of like noise getting out, so I can actually yell at the TV and at the players and not have my wife yell at me to shut up. That's nice. But Saturday night's games, I was able to do that. And Utah had its bounce back game. Utah looked like Utah. I don't know how else to put it. They looked great on Saturday night. And Ogden continued looking good. And again, Idaho Falls didn't look bad that second game either. It was just another couple really great games on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, there wasn't anything that really stuck out. I mean, Idaho Falls really found their groove towards the end of that second game and that Saturday game. And they were not the team that they were at the start of the year, which, I mean, no team is ever the same team at the start of the year, but the improvement that I saw in just this like 2 day time span is immaculate.
I'm so impressed with, like, first of all, well done, I guess, NCDC hockey, because the games have been really not just in the playoffs, but you and I were talking about that too. Like, I kind of had my doubts coming into this first year of NCDC Mountain Division hockey that how are they going to be able to pull off tier two quality hockey? Like, I was very used to watching the NAHL. We have a lot of NAHL representation with our previous podcast, and I wasn't very familiar with the NCDC. I mean, I obviously knew of them. I just didn't watch any of the games. So we had like multiple teams in the NAHL we were communicating with. So knowing that they were going to expand out west in a whole year in advance, I had my concerns with, would it be the same level of hockey I was seeing in the NAHL? And I can honestly say that it's really close. It's really damn good hockey. Obviously, the NAHL has been around for a long time. They're well established. The NCDC is very close, and it is high quality hockey. It was definitely a step up from tier three hockey that we saw with these six teams the year before, I guess five out of the six teams the year before. Obviously, Northern Colorado was there the year before with the tier three, and I thought, okay, well, they'll probably just bring up a bunch of these players that are on their current rosters, and it's going to be kind of a slight upgrade. It's far more than that. Most teams didn't bring over all but one or two players from the previous year's rosters, and the level of hockey definitely was a big step above tier three hockey. And just the way the players, I would say the biggest thing I noticed is there's a lack of panic in tier two Mountain Division hockey than I would see in tier three hockey.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of those big things that I was really happy with this year. The talent pool has been incredible. Pueblo, Rock Springs, Provo, Utah, Idaho Falls, and Ogden all had really competitive teams. Again, Rock Springs kind of hit their stride towards the end of the year, but really awesome, talented, skilled players that made it really exciting to watch this new division of the NCDC. And I'm really thinking that next year is going to be even better.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is just that tiny little like foot in the door. And I think next year, the door is going to just be kicked open with how great this is going to be.
Yeah. And I think that because all the teams kind of found their strides, there was a lot of more, I think there's a lot more movement this year than we're going to see in future years, because they got more draft picks going into this season to kind of build out their future rosters, adjusting how it was going to look like this season. And just a lot of minute details that they constantly tweaked, and you saw each team tweaking all year long. And so I'm excited to see the rest of these playoff games and talk about just a real quick wrap up of the two series that we watched so far. But again, just the excitement surrounding the Mountain Division hockey and where it's going to be and where it's going, I think is, it's the best. Cause you look at now, like, we had the first like weekend of NCDC Mountain Division round one playoffs. Then something that we haven't seen all year, which I found extra exciting because they were 5-game series, is there was games on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There was a game on Friday. Yes, there was. And we're not used to seeing that throughout the week.
Oh, no. And I think I definitely think it affected the players. I don't think they were used to it. Yes. And oh, boy, that Monday game between Ogden and Idaho Falls. Ooh. Yikes.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So that was it was a great game. It was an incredible game there. The first ever playoff game in Idaho Falls, not for the Spud Kings, but the first ever home game for the Idaho Falls. I mean, it went into overtime and it was too bad the way it ended there for Ogden.
It's stuff like that where it's like in the moment you want to be like, oh, I'm so frustrated with that. But at the end of the day, I had to remind a lot of people when that happened. One, he's a kid. It's junior hockey. And there are pros that have done this. And it's something that, like, easily, I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 people who are trying to, like, trash this kid would do.
Right. Wouldn't be able to get to his level. Let's just
put exactly. They wouldn't be able to get to his level, like, not even close. And I think in that moment, I think there was no one beating himself up more about scoring an own goal in overtime to lose the game than himself. You know, he's got to be his biggest critic in that moment. And I like the way he played, you know, that next game on Wednesday. He slowed it down, and
he was a man on fire, though.
Of course. Yeah. He was a man on a mission to prove, like, hey, like, you got one off of me, but you're not getting any more.
Yeah. And I think, well, and again, I saw a lot of, cause Flow Hockey also decided to post the goal itself.
Yeah.
Which was, I think, even more brutal. But
I think NCDC posted it as well.
Yeah. And I think, okay, I'll say this. I'm a goalie. If you can't tell, if you've listened to any of these podcasts, I probably don't shut up about it. So I will say a part of that is I've played a lot of hockey. And one of the biggest lessons I've learned is don't trust your defensemen. And as much as it was on the goal scorer, and again, I won't mention names only because I don't, when there's errors in games, it's not so much I want to bring up their names as much as when we're doing positive affirmations, so to speak, right, about things that they've done well. But I will say, as the goalie, I understood they're tired. And this literally was said by the play-by-play announcer from Idaho Falls within seconds before this actually happened, is there are tired legs out there. It's literally what he said as he went to wrap around. And first of all, they're not used to playing more than those couple games in the weekend. And we're going into overtime. And overtime in the regular season is you stay on the ice, you switch sides, and you go for it on a 3-on-3. And then you wrap it. This is the first ever time they've kind of had to play a fourth period.
Yeah.
An actual full-on, full-break fourth period. And the legs weren't – the legs were tired on both sides, and I think the brains were tired on both sides. Because the goalie – should have watched the puck go around him. And again, I'm a goalie, so I know this. Like, you can't trust your defenseman. I've been burnt by my defenseman, but I've also burnt myself. So I can't say if people think that goal was bad, thank God some of the horrific things I've let in net aren't on video. You know, go to clear a puck in the corner and somehow score on myself. Done that. So, And so this is nothing. The players were receiving a lot of hate, but this game was an amazing game.
Absolutely.
And both goalies, and this is where I'll say positive things, both goalies, both Inabine and Bolsky, played great games. They played amazing. They were brick walls. And so the game to end like that was kind of tragic, but it happens. It's hockey. You gotta keep your mind in the whole game. So yeah. So let's move on then to now the Utah Provo series is also tied at one. What'd you think of that third game?
You know, I think that's where this third game with how fast the Outliers came out with a purpose.
Yes.
I think that's kind of where the series started looking more, all right, Provo, what are you doing here? And then it was like, okay, well, Utah's being Utah again. They're lighting the
lamp. Yeah, Utah was being Utah again because they came out to, I think it was a 5-0 lead before Provo was able to get those three goals.
Correct.
And I think also that's where that's probably good fuel for both teams in different ways going into that final game. Which is, you know, Utah, you let them score three to conclude that game. That gives Provo kind of an edge going into that next game. If they kind of have no momentum, they're at home, they're going to carry in that momentum. And so I think obviously heading into that game four, Utah was able to play it right, was very aware. I would think they gave away some of the momentum at the end of that final game as they had the 5-0 lead. And you really can't afford to do that in a 5-game series. So it was a very tight, I don't know how to describe that fifth game, but right. Utah won it. Yeah.
Sorry. It was just like, yeah, exactly. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Like, they played it. Sorry. It felt you know what I call it? It kind of felt like some of those early 2000s games.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I didn't witness those. I was a child. but yeah, like it felt, like the scoreboard, like the score may not have shown up, but that game was, it was so like tight the entire time.
Yeah. And honestly, this could be one of those things where that first game by Rondina, where he didn't have the greatest showing. And again, neither did the Outliers themselves. But I mean, there was one of those goals that Rondina let in the beginning of that game where I'm like, okay, just pull him. His head wasn't in the game and you could tell, and it could be that this team wasn't there or whatever, but I was like, I saw him let it in. I'm like, okay, that's not typical Rondina. His head's not in the game. Just yank him. And obviously the Utah coach did that. I think the goal later, I think it could have been done earlier. Cause you could just tell like, that's not a typical goal Philip would let in. It wasn't. And you know what? That might've worked out for not only Rondina, but the Outliers.
Yeah,
because damn, he's looked good since. Like some of the saves he's made those final three games, especially in a shutout. So shout out there to Philip Rondina, were just stupid, like incredible saves. And I'm like, okay, now he's on a mission. And that's, you know, before we break into our preview for the next series, that's something the Outliers, like that bad first game might have been exactly what they needed, honestly. Because you preferred that first game than, you know, the final game.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. So, and let's quickly bounce back then to Ogden, Idaho. So you went into that next, that final game there in Idaho as well with the, obviously Ogden could have closed out a sweep, but that goal slipped in. And here we are, man, another game, another overtime.
And, you know, I think this one, I will say this, I think Kenny said mistakes can happen. We get one mistake. We're not doing this again. We're closing it out, and ended up they closed it out, and led by Brody Simcoe.
Yeah, know? I was gonna say it's got to be led by Brody. He had 6 goals. Like, okay, so I say this: me watching this alone downstairs and in the big like big screen and everything, I kept seeing Simcoe score in these games. I will say this selfishly. We had a fantasy league all year long. I had Brody Simcoe on my roster. He has tore it up for these playoffs. And all I kept doing was like, again, Brody? Where was that at the end of the regular season when I needed to catch the Laser Sharks? So selfishly, I'm really happy because I every single time I saw him score, I'm like, yes, points. I'm like, oh, wait, the season's over. Never mind. he has been a one-man wrecking crew for the Ogden Mustangs.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so great to see him just kind of kind of flourish here in the playoffs. It's so cool. He sees the ice differently right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He might be just one of those playoff players, man. Like,
yeah.
That, we can't talk about that final game without talking about that disgusting goal from Landon Steffen.
Yeah.
In the second. Oh my, when he put that in at the beginning of the third, somewhere in the third period to put Idaho up, I went, oh shit. I think this, and then he put another one in a few minutes later, another really pretty goal, but nothing compared to that first goal that he put in to put the Idaho Falls Bud Kings up. That goal, he dangled Volsky out of his pads. That thing was dirty. That thing was so dirty. And then honestly, that I thought, especially when they went up 3-1, I'm like, we're doing a game five back in Ogden. I mean, it's it. We're going back to Ogden, and Ogden's going to have to get back into this. And
yeah, boom,
Heinemann and Von Klinggraf, bam, bam.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I think Landon Steffen, I think he gave Idaho that glimmer of hope to where they're like, okay, we got this. We can run with them. And then Heinemann and Klinggraf, they shut the door on it, you know?
Yeah. They kind of took the wind out of the sails.
Yeah. And because especially that like tying goal, like 18:26 into the third. And you're just like, what do we got to do to beat these guys in regulation? You know?
Yeah.
Because if you're Idaho Falls, you're like, okay, we got one win off of a mistake. It's probably not going to happen again. We've got to find a way to finish these guys earlier. And I think the defense after the previous game, I think the defense for the Mustangs just toughened up, you know, yeah. They, especially in that overtime, they were solid.
Yeah. Hendrickson was playing incredible defense, like absolutely incredible. Did he have a goal in this series or no?
I'd have to go back and look,
but I mean, it doesn't matter. He's a defenseman. So if he can contribute to offensively, awesome. But he was able to play so solid back there. And he was able to lead a lot of good breakouts, or at least allow good breakouts to occur. I mean, he was, I think, one of the more, I mean, I can't even say that because Hember was playing a damn good game too.
Yeah.
Honestly, the Ogden defense, that's what Utah is going to have to figure out for this next series.
Absolutely.
Is breaking through that Ogden defense. And then with Ogden, they're going to have to fill up Rondina. They're going to have to figure out Philip Rondina. Because if he continues to play the way he did those last three games,
Ogden's
in trouble. And only one of these teams goes off to play in that national championship series. And the better team will win. That's the one thing. When you're talking Ogden, Utah, the best team always wins.
Oh, of course. And I think seeing these two teams like in this kind of situation again for like,
yeah,
if you go back to the WSHL, like what, like sixth, seventh, eighth year in a row, seeing these two teams in this sort of scenario, what more do you have to prove on these two programs are great programs? And
and
there's really no like dominance in the rivalry. It flip-flops back and forth.
Yeah. Ogden had it for a while and Utah's had it most recently for the last
exactly.
Few years.
And I think this year it's going to be that, is it going to flip-flop or is it going to continue being the outlier's way? Cause back in the WSHL, it tended to be, it would bounce the Mustangs way, but here in the USPHL, it's bounced the outlier's way. So now you're kind of like, all right, it's NCDC. Who's it going to go for?
Yeah, this is the first ever NCDC Mountain Division champion. It's going to be one of these two teams. And not shocked coming to this stage in this season that it's two teams. It really is going to be whoever comes out on top, because it will be kind of like, which the episode people never got to hear because the sound was garbage and we're re-recording the fantasy episode later this week. So ladies and gentlemen, be on to listen for that. But it's going to be with Ogden and Utah being the final two teams yet again. It's not shocking, but B, it could have been any one of the four teams that were in the playoffs. Honestly, I wouldn't have been shocked to see Provo and Idaho at this stage with the way each one of these teams are playing. There wasn't a, I'm thinking through it. I will say, in terms of overall bad game, I would say the only real bad game was truthfully Utah in that first game. They just played a stinker and Provo just kind of had their way with them. I don't think there's been a, you know, but here it is. Utah's took that series. They let their stinker out and now they won three in a row. And here they are to head off to Ogden for game one.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun series. And I do want to see those Utah fans trek up to Ogden. And I want to see those Ogden fans trek down to Utah because God, these fan bases hate each other. And I love it.
Right. And you know, it's, I just get to sit back and watch.
Yeah.
You know, I get a feel that like, damn, these two fan bases do not like each other.
It's great.
And I just like, and it's kind of like that animosity. Like, I don't like them because they're good, but I also don't like them because they're the closest team to me.
Yeah.
And
it's good for the fans. It's good for the sport. It's good for these teams.
And I also really like about this rivalry specifically is after these games are done out in the parking lot, we're buddy buddy.
Yeah.
You know? And because it's like we all have the common, like there's a lot of Real Salt Lake fans for if you're a soccer fan, and there's the Utah Grizzlies, you know, like there's uniting factors outside of it. But man, when these two teams play, oh,
there's no love lost.
Yeah, there's no love lost.
I'm excited. This is going to be, I know one of these teams is going to go off to the national championship, but for us, this is the national championship. Like, honestly, these two teams facing off. The Mountain Division Championship game is going to be, I'm going to look forward more forward to these 3 to 5 games. And I really hope it goes 5.
It's got to go 5.
I was rooting for 5 game series for all these series. So they both went 4. So I'll take 4. I just don't, sweeps aren't as fun. So thankfully no team got swept. Like I said, Idaho played a hell of a series and Ebene did everything he could. Players like Stephens stepped up. I mean, Landon Stephen is just, I would say along the lines of like Simcoe, he seems to be just a playoff level player. His intensity in those games was infectious. The fans fed off of that. And that's just exciting hockey, man.
And I don't know what it is. Like, it's like I said with Simcoe, he just sees the ice differently. And it's great seeing those guys that are like, yeah, I can get into this off puck skating. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's the playoffs. So you're also looking at like the who are the guys like Simcoe and Stefan are clearly the they're playoff players. But you look at guys. You always look for who are the players that generally don't contribute a lot offensively throughout the season, but are going to be the ones that get those goals in the playoffs. And you look back to like that final game with Idaho Falls and Ogden, and I think Canavari put one in to start the game. And I was like, what? Did somebody tip it? Yeah, great player, but just doesn't generally produce a lot offensively. You could say the same thing. I mean, there were so many. It was fun. I am really disappointed that Idaho Falls and Provo seasons have ended. I'm looking forward to what these programs do next season. We'll be tracking them all season, but we want to talk about kind of what we think with this Utah-Ogden series. I think we've kind of said there's really no need of predictions here. The best team will win. And predictions – I don't know, not as much fun as they used to be, especially I think because really it is going to be the team that shows up each night.
Yeah.
And with these two teams, I would even beg to say that what team shows up each shift, because you have a bad shift against Ogden, Utah, you're going to get scored on and vice versa. If Ogden has a bad shift, Utah's going to put it in the back of the net. So yeah. You've got to take every shift seriously because this is, you know, it's literally win or go home now. It's, you know, you're going to head to your off-season camps, do those off-season things if you don't beat this team. And there's two really exciting, I don't know, Ryan Cooper being added to Utah, I know, watching him all year up here in the VIJHL, man, what a contributor. It's kind of like Cooper and Cherniak, right? The guys that didn't start the season there, they were the late season additions, really stepping up offensively. This is what you want to see out of NCDC tier two level hockey and NCDC playoffs. And dude, I'm excited. Volsky versus Rundina, Klotchkov versus Simcoe. Who's going to be, it's going to be fun, man.
It's going to be a great series. And, you know, I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to find the last time these two teams played in the regular season.
Oh, Utah beat Ogden.
Yeah, like that was the one game I was
on. But that was a game where Ogden was sick, right? They all had like some sort of bug.
Yeah, but
because DeMelo got the shutout. Yeah.
Yeah, DeMelo got the shutout. I just got that one pulled up right here. Let me kind of pull forward here.
You're going to try to do the season by season comparison with these two teams. It doesn't matter who shows up each year.
Yeah. At the beginning of the year, okay. All right. Here's head to head. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. God, man, they're pretty even this year.
Yeah.
Like the last 10 games, I'm just going to break that down. Utah's last 10 games are 8 wins, 1 loss, 1 OT win. Ogden's last 10 are 6 wins, 3 losses, 1 OT loss.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those who's going to show up or put up or shut up. And both teams' home and away records are pretty much dead even, you know. It's going to be who has those good shifts, like you were saying. And I think if I'm going off the stats right now that I'm seeing purely on goals for or goals against, I have to give the Mustangs the edge just the slightest. Because the goals for or goals against just averages out like 192 goals for the Mustangs, 121 against. The outliers, it's 185 for. And 137 against. Like it's dead even right there. You know, there's not a lot of gap.
Yeah, and with both of these goalies too, I mean, neither of these goalies started the season with these respective teams.
No.
Volsky started in Pueblo. I think he started in the CCHL or elsewhere. I'd have to look at his where I don't think Rendina started with the Outliers because it was more
I don't believe so.
They had the Quebecer. It's Mangay Kripal, something along that line. Mangay Kripal or something along that. Because he played a lot of the games to start the season. And then they had one goalie come in for a few games and then go back to the Knoll. Connor Graham, maybe?
I think so. I think it was Graham.
Graham, maybe Connor's not the right first name. But, yeah, I don't think either. Obviously, I know Volsky didn't start with the Ogden Mustangs program. I remember seeing him in Pueblo. And I'm going to have to go to Elite Prospects or see where Rundina started because I'm
Rundina was Brockville Braves, played one game.
Yeah, so he came from the CCHL.
Pembroke Lumber Kings. So, yeah, he played 3 games in the CCHL.
Okay, yeah. So, but damn, 29 games for the Outliers. But, I know he had started out of the CCHL and very happy to have him here in the NCDC. I know the Mustangs aren't to see him here. Both netminders for both teams. I mean, I would say both, but we're talking a trio there for Utah. But you got Tade and Nikita there for Ogden. And Tade didn't start the whole season with us either. He came from another NCDC squad on the East. But I'm pretty confident saying he's been there. He's been in the NCDC all year long. And I think he's an 03. I know he's an 03 from Cary, North Carolina, but I don't know what team he started with. Because my nieces are from Cary, North Carolina. So that's why the second I saw Cary, I'm like, yep, know exactly where that is. And so, and then when it comes to, you've got Sam Straff and Dryden DeMello. And Straff was excellent a month ago because he got a lot of starts. And then DeMello came in. And I've watched DeMello all season long. I know he's an amazing goalie. He won one of my VIJHL awards this year. So I'm not shocked to see him at this level. So, yeah, man, it's really going to come down to you can't have a bad game as a goalie, and you can't have a bad shift as the others. Let's call them the others because goalies are the best. But you really can't afford a bad shift because the other team's going to make you pay. And I think we're going to see a lot of yelling
Oh yeah, it's gonna. I might have to go in person to these games.
Oh, I wish I could, man. I wish I could. I'll be watching them all on the big screen. That's for sure. Unless it's a Friday night, then I'll be not watching it on the big screen because I think the movies have the. I think the movies take this take priority because it's a standard thing versus me just trying to book the room when I can. So, but no, I'm excited for these series. I think they're going to be two amazing series. The best team's going to win. And this episode probably went longer than we wanted it to. But you know what? That's part of the nature of the beast here. And we're hoping you listeners will like this. We're going to, again, try to make this a weekly series. I know that when the playoffs end, we'll try to talk about any major news coming out of the NCDC, like any big signings or big tenderings. If there's absolutely nothing coming out week by week, we just might not drop that episode. If there's nothing to talk about, we just won't drop the episode. But if players resign or if new tenders are assigned, maybe we'll take a look at some of their game film. The draft is coming up, so I'm really excited to see what each one of these teams pick up in the draft. And maybe we'll do a post-draft analysis of the players they picked up. And then just kind of track it into the regular season, go over some regular season action and back into the playoffs and let the cycle continue. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think that's perfect plan.
I think it's a good plan. And then again, maybe we'll even have those ACHA West episodes. And again, something we have to explore in the off season of like, how do we want to handle those episodes? Because obviously covering, what is it? The the Western Collegiate Hockey League.
The Mountain West, right? Collegiate. The
Mountain West Collegiate.
Yeah, the MWCHL.
All right. Covering the seven teams out of that division. And of course they will play outside the division, but most games will happen within the division. So covering those games as you're the broadcaster for that, and you'll have more in-depth knowledge and kind of gauge that. But again, kind of maybe show the Western goalies some love. And that's what we might do with the Western USPHL goalies, is just kind of maybe show the goalies some love.
Right.
Those episodes will all be stats-based, but there will be rules to like stats. You can't just play a game and have a shutout and be the best goalie of the month. Like, you're going to have a minimum amount of games, minimum amount of shots. And then from there, save percentage is probably going to be the biggest thumbs up factor from minimum amounts of games and shots. But yeah, we don't have the time frame to watch all of those games. So it's going to be, but I think, you know, doing like a top 10 for the D1, you know, the men's and women's D1, kind of mix them into one top 10 and then mix the four D2 divisions into like a top 20, because there's 31 teams there.
God, yeah.
Yeah, might be a fun way forward, but we'll see how that works out and what you listeners think of it. And that would be like that. The awards episode would be like a monthly thing, but a weekly coverage. And, you know, you can break down, like I said, Idaho, Utah, like what a game. Like we can go over stuff like that and see what happens.
Yeah,
but
I'm loving the sound of that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. Like I said, hopefully a lot shorter episodes. But again, when we start talking hockey, man, we can just drag these things out. So. It's like we like that the sport or something. But we want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date. This was the NCDC weekly coverage by the Pigeonhole Hockey Podcast with Chris and Justin.
See you later.
And remember, listeners, always clear your crease.